for joining us for Be Our Geek, where everyone is a geek about something and where we cover your pop culture landscape through our geek lens. I am Ms. Shannon, and here with my regular co-host and podcast life mate, Mr. Jayton Satia, Executive Director of the Twin Cities Film Fest. Jayton, I just want to let everybody know a little behind the scenes. I made a request before we started the show today that you would drop a funky beat, and you disappointed me by not being able to do that. I'm a little sad.
I'd rather disappoint by not giving you a beat than embarrass myself by giving you a beat. I'm okay with that.
That's not a skill that you have hiding that I just haven't known in the 20 years we've been friends? Is that it?
No, you know, there's a couple skills that I don't think you know that I have, and I think in due time you'll get to find out. But,
okay.
But beatboxing is certainly not one of them. I appreciate the art, absolutely.
Yes.
I'm mesmerized when I listen to somebody beatbox, but beyond that, I can just nod my head, and that's my beatboxing right there.
So you appreciate it. You appreciate it, and you know, you're like, I will just participate from afar, is what you'll do as far as beatboxing is concerned.
Yeah, I could ask you, do you beatbox? Is that part of your talents when you get on stage? That's how you get their attention.
I am more of the hype man / hype woman. In that scenario. So if you were going to go to an old school hip hop concert, I'd be the one going, yeah, everybody put your hands up. You know, I can do all that part. I can do that part.
Me too.
I can make the appropriate noise.
I can follow directions when somebody says, put your hands up.
Yeah. Good. Okay. Yep. So I will give it, we can do like hip hop Simon Says. I will be Simon and then you can do what I say and then we'll all be all right. And then I have friends though, who are amazing, like quote unquote award winning beatboxers. Like my friend DJ Snuggles, he's that person. So when we need one, I can find that.
Everybody should have a personal beatboxer to hype them up just
the
daytime. Just to be, call them up to be like, dude, I just need a couple beats. Just give me some.
I know. You'll make me smile. And I think that is a useful skill, just like it's good to have at least one a cappella troupe in your that you can call at any given time. Like that you could just go, hey, I would like somebody to come here and just throw everything. Because they usually have some sort of beatbox type person in their troupe as well that could at least do something and drop a bass line if you need it.
So is there an app for this?
I'm sure.
Or should there be an app for this?
We'll look it up. There has to be a beatboxing app. If there's not, we are going to create it and
or
make a ton of money.
Acapella beatboxers.
We'll send out a, how would you do that? Like if you would like a request for papers, if we were looking for a professor or something like that, we'll do that.
You know, there's Fiverr, right? Fiverr, you go to Fiverr or Upwork and you can go, look, I'm looking for freelancers to do this, why, you know, X, Y, and Z. It's kind of like that. But for artists, you go, look, I just need somebody to come on the call with me right now and just drop a beat and I'll PayPal you XYZ money.
Exactly. I think that works. So let's go on to our guest geeks. We have a duo.
Are you surprising
maybe,
me?
Maybe. I'm
are
like, let's
beatboxers?
See. I don't know. I didn't think to ask them beforehand if that was something. I didn't know that that was something that would come in handy, but maybe because they are two very hip people. So maybe that is one of the things in there. They have a couple of things in common and I'm excited to introduce you to Larissa Garsky and Justine Mastin, the co-authors of Starship Therapies, their book that's available right now wherever you get your favorite books. Also, you can listen to their Starship Therapies podcast. So, Larissa and Justine, just because we like to put people on the spot, are you accomplished beatboxers?
I wouldn't say accomplished.
Oh, okay.
But I do.
Do you dabble? Do you dabble?
Yeah, no, she dabbles.
Okay.
Dabbles.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I fancy myself, you know, an elite rapper.
Okay, all right.
No, I don't.
Okay.
No,
all
I
right.
don't.
Am
wow.
I?
But I love to make up little rhymes.
That's true.
Do you have one in mind right now? If
she's just gonna drop haikus on us. That's what's gonna
space
happen.
Space theme. Haikus.
Like if I had a beat for you right now, if I was like. Is that the wrong beat, Justine?
No, I was just feeling it.
You're feeling
just,
it? All right. You want to give you a little more?
I do a lot of rhymes about my dogs.
Okay.
They're Pomeranians. And his name is Storkins. And he is cute. I like to boop, boop, boop him on the snoot.
Hey, that worked for me. Hey, you don't got it.
That worked.
Hey, I thought that worked for me. Here, I'll give you time to think up another one real quick. And then I'll give you some inspiration, Justine. So do you have another one that you would have? Here, just a second. I'll use the old school DJ in me because I know that this would maybe inspire you because this always makes me want to drop a beat, this particular one. You guys mm-hmm. remember this one?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, see, I feel like that's always how you start.
I have to share this anecdote now.
Okay, all right.
I was at a party probably 25 years ago now, and some friends of mine who are, like, legit DJs and, right. and rappers, they were passing the mic around.
Oh, okay.
And it got to me.
And you're like, it's my stop. Here's go.
No, but I was a very different human then. And I was like, what's a rap I know? And I was like, my name is Justine, and I'm here to say I love Fruity Pebbles in a major way.
Here we go.
Yeah.
There we go. All right, good.
Fruity Pebbles.
Here we go. I like that. You know, I mean, that means that they had good marketing, because if you had that earworm that's been a while since they were dropping that.
Oh, yeah.
Well done. Well done. Jayden, the other thing that you'll appreciate about Justine is that, Justine, I don't know if I mentioned this to you before, but Jayden's lovely wife is also a yogi. Yes. And so bring you guys up to speed on that, because we would mm-hmm. like them, you know, if you want to learn more about their book, we're going to talk about that today as well. But also, how did you decide that this was the way that you were going to share your knowledge as official licensed family marriage therapist and do that? So I do want to back up and go, first of all, how did the two of you guys end up connecting? What is the tie that binds between Larissa and Justine? Mm-hmm.
Well, I already rapped, so okay. Larissa, why don't you
right.
take
no, that's true. I don't rap, but I can tell stories.
Okay.
So we're going to go way back into the archives almost 10 years ago when I was in my first graduate program and Justine was in her second graduate program because mm-hmm. she's just really learned like that. And we were paired up in grad school as we were training to become marriage and family therapists for some sort of skit. Like, before you can, like, learn to try and help the people, you have to, like, practice on people who you're not, like, you know, going to potentially hurt because you don't know anything because you're a newbie, you're a baby.
Right.
I don't remember what Justine and I were supposed to practice, but I do vividly remember sitting in front of her and doing, like, these very brief intros. And as Justine was telling me about herself, I was like, wow, this person is so cool and confident. I want to know this person. I don't know if I'm ready to know this person. And actually, funny story, we didn't become close friends for another, like, what, 4 or 5 years maybe?
Yeah.
But that was the beginning. And here we are today, almost 10 years later, best friends, and we've written a whole book together.
Right. Mm-hmm. So you're just like, you know what? I can feel this energy that works. And mm-hmm. and so, Larissa, I have my experience with Justine starts in the whole geekly realm. Are you also a geek / nerd type person?
Oh my God, yes. I'm rocking my Ravenclaw team hoodie today.
I
just
could
to like
feel,
give me,
if,
right?
With the background that you have, I could see that a Ravenclaw would be in your future, that you would be a Ravenclaw. Are you also a Ravenclaw, Justine, or do you not Harry Potter?
We're both Ravenclaws. Mm-hmm. And actually, we give a little hat tip to that in our book. Where we talk about all the houses, and we're like, and Ravenclaw, the best house.
Oh, wow.
How does one determine which house they belong in?
Well,
you can just decide.
Correct.
Or you can.
You can take an official quiz.
A Potterverse quiz, which I will send to you.
I think
I'm
a Slytherin. I'm just saying.
I think he's a Slytherin as well.
I could see that.
He's
you
a
have
Slytherin.
A vibe.
Yeah, he does. He's a
which
Slytherin.
I don't mean in a bad way.
He's
I mean,
one of those.
No, vibe's a vibe.
He's one of those Slytherin that'll be like, we're not all bad, but they're so cunning and kind of shady. But you're like, okay. You know,
a little
so,
shady goes a long way in having fun. You
nope. Guys. He. I know. I am not. You just notice I did not dispute at all that he would be Slytherin in nature. He's not real. I would be similar to Professor McGonagall, where I would be a quandary for the sorting hat, because I have done this a couple of times, where it would sit on my head and then go Gryffindor. Like, it would, like, because I dabble in Ravenclaw. And so, but it would be like, are you sure? Do you want to go there? And they would go, just go to Gryffindor. Like I've tried to skew my answers Ravenclaw and still came out Gryffindor. Ooh, so sure. On occasion. So I'm going,
you can't hide who you really are.
No,
you can't.
No. One of my favorite, and this is an aside, one of my favorite Harry Potter nerd stories is that one day I was out and about and I have a Gryffindor necklace. With the Gryffindor house crest on it. And some person just at the store back when we could be within 6 feet of each other walks over and says, is that your family crest? And I thought that was precious. And I said, yes. Thank you for knowing. Yes, it is. It is.
It is.
Thank you. The fact that I give off vibes that maybe I do have an actual family crest, I was crushing it that day. I was impressed. So... So that brings us back to, okay, we know that we all live in the whole geekly world. How do you go, you know, I'm going to take my, what is so important to me, and I know, Justine, you and I have talked about this before, just how you do use your talents as a licensed marriage and family therapist to actually talk to a group of people that you think may have been underserved as far as the mental health, mental wellness, mental illness world, and to talk to people that do kind of see themselves outside of that normal, quote in big air quotes, normal framework.
Yeah, for me, taking us back to grad school again, I kept getting feedback in my practices that I wasn't being authentic. And, you know, I came from a background where, like, we just act like we're a thing, right? Like, just my first time I was going to be a server, my dad was like, well, just act like a server. And I was like, okay, I can do that.
Right.
And so I was like, well, I'm going to act like a therapist. Let me put on my imaginary white coat and get my, you know, my clipboard. And that's just not me. And as soon as I was able to really embrace the fact that, like, I'm this awkward nerd who feels much more comfortable talking about supernatural than I am about, you know, like, okay, I have this colleague who's very into brain science. And I mean, she can just sit down and like map out a whole brain for you. And that's her authentic self.
Right.
That's not me. I'm going to talk about like, so are we being dragged to hell by hellhounds today? Is that what we're feeling?
Right.
Like, and once I was able to embrace that and put that out there in my advertising, that's who I got.
Right.
That's who came to see me.
And I think that it does showcase that there are ways that you build rapport and can basically shorthand a conversation by finding someone who, you know, can speak in the same language that you do and in the same culture, which doesn't always go by those buckets that we think of first away. Like maybe it may have something to do with you, how you gender identify, or maybe it may have something to do with what religion you grew up in, or what heteronormative thing you're about of. But it might also be, hey, I play a lot of Pokemon Go, and so if somebody else can talk to me in this language, I get them, you know, kind of thing right away. And I think that that's of great value. So yeah, I know that you also, Justine, had been doing the geek related adventure yoga.
And Yoga Quest, narrated yogic adventures.
Right. And I still have a water bottle that you gave me that says Nerd Must Stay on it. I appreciate that.
Aww.
But again, what was it that made you go, here's another way that I can get into this particular framework? And why was that something that was important to you?
It's really funny because it's almost the exact same story as the therapy. The feedback I kept getting as a yoga teacher was, you're not being authentic. You're acting like a yoga teacher. And I'm like, well, but isn't that what you're supposed to do, right? Shouldn't I be talking like this and like wearing flowy pants and, you know, shouldn't I be doing all of that? And I just kept getting this feedback of like, this isn't you.
Right.
You're pretending. Like you're cosplaying a yoga teacher.
Right, right.
They weren't using that language, but
they would not. No. But you weren't even doing it very well. Apparently. Like, it was like bad cosplay. Time. It was like when you force yourself to be this character because you think you look like them, but they're just not who you identify with, and it shows.
Right.
Right. It didn't authentically come across. Mm-hmm. And so I started kind of asking myself, what's missing? And the yoga came before the therapy by about a year. I started thinking about, like, what's missing? Why do I feel like this is inauthentic? And what I realized was, like, I was ignoring this entire swath of my life that is my nerddom.
Right.
I had put it away because, well, that has no place here. And in the yoga spaces I was at, it didn't.
Right.
And so I said, well, if the space doesn't exist, I'll make it.
And now you've carved out a nice little world that people, yeah, I'm sure, appreciate. And mm-hmm. Larissa, I'm always excited when we have authors on because I am just impressed with the completionist in me appreciates this, that you have this book. So what made the two of you guys go, here's what we're going to do. We're going to have this book and here's what we're going to do. So what was the beginning of that inception process?
Well, as all great pre-book writing stories begin, it begins at an Olive Garden.
Or Perkins.
Sometimes at Denny's. Mm-hmm. But in our case, it happened at an Olive Garden. And we were there after one of our joint supervisions because we were still moving through the full licensure process. And I was moving. Mm-hmm. I am born and raised in Minnesota. And at that point, I was living in Minneapolis, but I was going to be moving to Chicago, which is where I am currently. And we were very sad. And I think that the nice waitress was bringing us breadsticks. And one of us was starting to cry. And that was awkward for her. Not so much for me, because at that point, I was like, this is just reality. Breadsticks and tears. And so she, like, drops the breadsticks, backs away, goes somewhere, does her thing. And Justina's like, you're just going to move and you're going to leave. And I don't know if we're going to, like, still work on things. And I was like, I was very adamant that no, we will continue to have projects. We will continue to work together. Cause at this point, I was working in private practice with Justine. Obviously that couldn't continue when I moved. And so I was sitting there crying over breadsticks, very quickly trying to think of what is going to be this project that we can do together that can span this, like, multi-state distance. And of course, it was writing a book.
Wonderful.
Yeah. So that was how it got started. Mm-hmm.
And now we can find your book all over the place, including an audiobook, sure, I believe. Mm-hmm. You know, kind of thing, which is fancy. Yes. We're big fans of that as well.
We have recorded it. Mm-hmm. And wow, that's a lot of talking.
It is. Yes. Yes. Jayden and I both have good friends that are professional audiobook narrators. And we know. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I auditioned for one. I was like, I don't think this is in me. It is a lot of talking. So tell us about the book, Starship Theraprise.
Yeah. So the book, even though we had that idea first, we realized, like, we can't quite jump right into this. We need to
figure out what we want to talk about. We need a workshop. Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so we started the podcast basically with the idea of, like, it is going to be a workshop for us to figure out what we want to talk about in the book. And our very first podcast was very scripted.
Okay. Like, all right.
You know, and by very, we mean it was totally written out by me because I have terrible performance anxiety. Mostly that's gone now, but I was like, we're going to write it all down. And if you listen to that first ep, it's like 15 minutes long. It sure sounds like we wrote it all down.
So you're orators. You're orating your
yes,
podcast.
Exactly. Yeah. Yes.
Jayden, you and I don't even know what that feels like. Like, we
no, writing stuff down? No. What is that? Mm-hmm. Shannon emails me, she's like, we got to prep for this and this and this. And I'm like, what time do I show up?
Right.
Like, I appreciate it, though. I think there's a lot to be said about preparing, right?
Yes.
Prepping yourself for X, Y, Z. And you want to put your best self out there. And I don't think that's unauthentic to write something down and or, again, it is still your voice.
Right.
But you want to get something mm-hmm. across. And as you get more comfortable, your authentic self will just come out. And again, more of that format is always, the format is a scary thing, right? So first podcast, yeah. first mm-hmm. time on TV, first time on radio, first time writing a book.
Right.
It is an overwhelming, anxiety-driven thing because it's the first time. But once you get used to it, it gets easier and more hands-on. But I'm going to commend you and say, I appreciate you taking that first step, and actually writing things down, and that's being bold and that's being authentic to yourself. So good on that. And like you said, you're past that now. You can just, like, you're on here. I don't say
that's right.
Just winging it. You. Winging
it. You don't know what I'm going to ask you.
No, that's true. And part of me is still terrified, but the rest of me knows what to do.
You're holding yourself very well together right
exactly,
now.
Exactly. Exactly. Plus, we're not that scary. We're only mildly
no,
scary.
No, you both are delightful.
I'm just Slytherin, that's all.
Yeah.
That's fine.
No. So, but she knows how to deal with them because Ravenclaws, she's a Ravenclaw. She would plan you to bits if she had the choice.
Fair enough.
Which is really funny because I think we're kind of two sides of the Ravenclaw coin, because the most important thing to Ravenclaw is wit and wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, although we both bring both, that Larissa definitely brings more wisdom.
Okay.
And I bring more wit.
So you have to lead with one or the other. You know, or you could just be like the rest of us Gryffindor and just jump. Just jump.
We'll
figure it out on the way down. We'll figure it out. It all works.
So what's the meat and bones of the book? So what do you guys talk about that is either, again, from a different perspective, obviously this is your voice and how you're, again, I love the title because the geek in me is kind of like, I wonder what they're going, how they're going to tie it all together, especially with the title, or is the title just there just to get the eyes on the prize?
So what the title is about is actually Larissa and I in everyday life will call each other Kirk and Spock. Mm-hmm. Or Moose and the Squirrel. Mm-hmm.
And or Pinky and the Brain.
That one we haven't done.
Ah.
She'd definitely be the Brain.
Okay.
even though the height would be mismatched.
Okay, fair enough.
The height would definitely be wrong. So the title is just sort of, it's like a flag in the window, right? You know, like, hi, we're safe geek people. But the book is not entirely about Star Trek, although Star Trek is in there. And we do like to, in our podcast, kind of do a radio play. I'm Kirk, she's Spock. And what's happening on the bridge of the starship Therapies.
Right.
Yeah.
So, you know, on our ship, we travel to different fandoms.
Yes.
And Larissa, do you want to give the quick and dirty about what they could expect in this book?
Sure. I mean, I think the quick and dirty and what you can expect in this book is you're gonna find fandom-based tools that is going to help you figure out how to make changes in your life, right? Like, when we sat down to write this book, we were like, self-help books can be very helpful sometimes, it's in the title, but they can also be a bit dry and unfun.
Right.
And if that works for you as a reader, I am not here to yuck your yum. I am here to say go to. But Starship Therapy is using therapeutic fan fiction to rewrite your life is all about how can you take the power of play and whimsy and modern mythologies, i.e. pop culture fandom stories, how can you use those fan fiction tools to make changes both in your own life and systemically?
Right.
And so that's really the meat. That's kind of the nugget. And then we go off, we talk about different psychotherapy terms, ideas, techniques, but all using the fun, the power of play and fandom and stories. So hopefully, like, you're learning as you're reading, but you're having fun
right when you're reading. And it has to be helpful to be able to live in worlds that are based on creativity to help people think outside whatever box they might be you know, trapped in at the moment and going, well, how do I get out of this? Well, if you could use any tool and any resource, which hopefully we get to do when we're, you know, in these fan fiction worlds, how many resources are now at your disposal if we go, anything could be on the table because you create it?
Yeah. And we had a lot of fun each chapter, in addition to, you know, covering an aspect of self-help. We have a fan fiction, what we call in our business, a case study. So it's, you know, when you present the case of a person, we present the case of some fandom character.
Right.
So we get to,
like, Link from The Legend of Zelda. So we're talking about the idea of post-traumatic growth, but we're not just talking about studies and the technique behind how one might do that in their lives. We're talking about how does Link do that in the video game? And then we have this awesome fanfic case study at the end of the chapter, which is, I think, chapter 5. Does that feel right, Justine?
That feels right.
where we envision this alternate fandom reality where Link is in therapy and we are his therapist.
Mm-hmm. Love it.
And he can speak. And then we also have either a meditation practice or a yoga sequence that's inspired by fandom at the end of each chapter as well.
So
that have the most adorable art.
I do notice, and so we should shout out your illustrator, J. Salvador Ramos, mm-hmm. as well, because mm-hmm. I think that is fantastic. And there's some things that you're like, okay, I need to see it. Mm-hmm. I can't just envision it. So you got this one done. How long did it take you to create Starship Therapies, the book?
Like literally write it?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, from the moment you guys met at
Olive Garden.
Yes.
Olive Garden.
Yes.
And cried over breadsticks to today. How long is that time?
4 years.
4 years. Mm-hmm.
That seems a very appropriate length journey, because we have friends that are like, it took me 20 years to write this book. And we're like, oh my goodness.
Yeah, and they wrote 10 pages.
Right. That's the Slytherin in him. I was trying to be nice. He's like, no. We're like, it took you 20 years to do this.
Oh, I think we have a Cyclone kid sighting.
You gonna say hi? Say hi to Mom. We'll call Grandma in a second. Go ask Auntie. Auntie will help you call Grandma.
So can I ask you a question around specifics in the film, in the book itself? You talk about utilizing fandoms and pop culture to quote unquote get your basic dry content that typically is discussed in therapy mm-hmm. out there. Have you heard from anybody who's read it? Or at least somebody who has actually experienced it through your narrative, and kind of express if it's worked for them or why they found it intriguing, because not everybody, you know, appreciates therapy. Some people are resistant to it.
Yeah.
I almost feel like this is breaking that barrier, because it still feels like it's a narrative fiction book that you're reading, but you're also learning from it as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, everything in this book, Larissa and I have done with clients in session.
So for years.
There's nothing in there that we were just like, ooh, what if?
Right.
We did this. It was all like, we would remember something we did with a client, be like, oh, let's put that in. And so these are historic.
These are tried and true,
kind of the best of our best interventions that have worked with clients over and over again. And our beta readers just...
Our Betazoid readers.
But to be fair, we picked people...
We did.
...that we thought would be the audience, right?
Right.
We didn't, we didn't grab Joe Schmo off the street who was like... on his way to the Twins game, and we're like, read this book, you know?
See if it changes your life.
Mm-hmm. Right, but overwhelmingly, I mean, they had feedback that made the book even better, but overwhelmingly, they just felt like, wow, this is really going to help people. I wish this book had been around when I was starting therapy.
Well, and I will say, going along with that, we've had... I mean, like Justine said, these are techniques that we've used with clients in sessions. And I've had a couple of folks that I've worked with for years. And some of these techniques, I started with them. They were the first. So some of the folks are very excited the book is coming out, because they're like, we helped you do this. And I'm like, you did. You did help me do this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, and that's why we dedicated the book to all of our clients, because we literally could not have written it without them.
So it definitely feels like it was a community builder as well. You know, for people that are out there. So, I mean, I think that we talk a lot about that mental health, mental wellness, mental illness journey for people, and especially what we've been facing over the last, we've had a very difficult last couple of years. And so when we are talking to, you know, your clients and people out there who are looking for a way to go, well, I don't feel terrible, but I should feel better. That's one of the ways you had suggested, had described it to me before, Justine, is how do we help them go, here's a good place to start?
Oh.
I know, I gave you a lot to unpack.
Mm-hmm. It's a hard question, because societally, the societal message is still, even in 2021, that therapy is for folks who are either very troubled,
okay,
or at the end of their rope. You know, if you're talking about relational stuff,
mm-hmm.
The statistics a few years ago, I don't know what they are right now, was that couples spend 7 years trying to work things out on their own before they seek therapy.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So by the time you meet a couple, mm-hmm. they've already had a foot out the door for 7 years.
Right.
So what I tell people is, you don't need to have something terrible going on in your life, which BT dubs, there's lots of terrible stuff happening just in the world.
Right. Yeah. Right.
So we're experiencing mm-hmm. a time of cultural trauma.
Mm-hmm. We are.
Mm-hmm.
But that, excuse me, this is an opportunity for you to have an hour with someone whose entire job it is to listen to you without their bias. You know, our friends, our family, our loved ones, they can care and they can listen, but they always have some skin in this game.
Mm-hmm.
It matters to them. Like, personally, whether you decide to stop drinking, for instance, they want you to stop drinking because it's hurting them.
Right.
And so you're never going to get neutral feedback from that loved one, but you're going to get neutral feedback from a therapist. And how cool is it to have somebody that's like, their entire job is just to listen to you.
Right.
And be curious about you and all of the unique things that you do from a place of genuine, compassionate curiosity rather than judgment or that initial drive to like make you change things. A therapist just wants to hear about you. One that you vibe with, you know.
I'm so glad you described it that way, Larissa, that somebody that you vibe with, because I think that that's good for people to hear as well, because they go, I tried it and it didn't work. When maybe it was, you just didn't find someone that communicated to you in the way that you needed to communicate. Mm-hmm. So give it another shot and do some research.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It looks like you were having the thought I was having, Justine, so I'm gonna let you go.
Yeah, I think we were having the same thought, which is you can totally keep searching for therapists until you find the one that you click with. And we're still, you know, kind of the minority in our industry as these outside the box thinkers, but we're out there.
Right.
And there are therapists that you're going to gel with better, who maybe they aren't into your fandom exactly, but they're curious enough to find out. And they're open-minded enough to realize that cosplay isn't pathology.
Right.
Pathology, right? Like, we exist and we're out there. And I invite people to ask that question when they're kind of interviewing a new therapist. If something's really important to you, if gaming is really important to you, and you game 6 hours a day, and to you that is not just normal, but very enjoyable, okay, you have no interest in changing that behavior, make sure the therapist agrees with you.
Right.
We're open to hearing your side. Yeah, the only other thing I'd offer is, you know, if you're a listener and you are thinking, wow, this book, this feels like it is speaking to me, mm-hmm. get the book and bring it into your therapist if you already have one, and ask them if they will look at it with you. You know, not that they necessarily have to read it cover to cover, though, of course, my admitted bias is going to be that they should.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
It'll be great. But they don't have to. Like, bring it in and you can start to talk to them about, hey, I'm interested in this. This is a part of me. This is a mm-hmm. part of the culture that either I've grown up in or that I've found because of how much fandom resonates with me. This book is talking about ways that we could use this in our therapeutic work together. Will you go on this journey with me? Will you figure mm-hmm. this out? And if they're a therapist that you got a positive connection with, they'll say yes. If they say no, then like, maybe it's time to say thank you next.
Right, right, right. So speaking of next, do you guys have a next step? Do you already have a companion book in the works that you're working on? Or
you're going to make a movie.
It is my dream.
It is Justine's dream.
It is my dream that we have a television series. That is my dream. And every time I bring that up, Larissa's like, what would that look like? And I say, hush, hush now. Yes, let's not ruin my dream.
Why ruin it? You know a Miss Shannon and a Jayton Satia who could help you do that.
Like, exactly.
It's not like you don't know those people.
We will need help.
Right.
We need help, please.
It's not like you don't know people who produce those type of visual means. So yeah, I already see what it would look like as a Netflix or an Amazon Prime series. So I could see it.
Miss Shannon's with me.
I can envision it. I can see exactly what it would look like. And I appreciate us bringing a variety of mental wellness and broadening that mental wellness mm-hmm. landscape with what we get to do with Starship Therapy. So let's tell everybody how they can find the book.
So the book is available wherever books are sold. Mm-hmm. You don't mm-hmm. need to buy it from any particular bookseller. So if you prefer to shop local, shop local. If that's not available to you, shop big. You can find links and information about the book on our website, starshiptherapies.com. And that's therapies with an S, just like the enterprise.
Wonderful, wonderful. And let's tell everybody how they can support and follow you both if you're out on the socials, where you should find you other than the Starship Therapies website.
Well, I looked this up, mm-hmm. so I'm going to say it right this time. On Instagram, we are Starship_Therapies, again with an S. Mm-hmm. And then if you want to follow Justine as her own individual entity, you can do that on both Yoga Quest and Mind Body Fandom on Instagram as well. Mm-hmm. On Twitter, we are at Starship_Therapies as well. Justine, am I getting that right?
At Twitter, we are Podcast Starship.
Gotcha. Okay.
There we go. Beautiful. Mm-hmm. And then if you, for some reason, are like, I really want to at 2 a.m., hear what Larissa thinks about the Dragon Age video game series, you can follow me on Twitter at Spock's All Ears.
Oh, I will make sure I do that as well, because I do all of those things, everything and above. Yes, yes. So
I'm so glad you've all met now.
Like, so far, I'm all like, hey, it's like, you know, we got to line up. Because I know Justine, and then I know Jayton, and then Justine knows Larissa. Now we're all family. It's all good, you know, kind of thing. We're family that we got to select, which is always right. The best family. It's always the best family. Mm-hmm. You can find out mm-hmm. more about what we have going on over the Twin Cities Film Fest by going to our website, TwinCitiesFilmFest.org. And we're already working on what's going on with the Twin Cities Actor Expo coming up in July. And before we know it, it'll be time for the 2021 festival, right, Jayton?
Ugh. That's all I got to say. In the best possible way, like it sneaks up on us every year. And it takes a year to put it together, and then it's just gone. But yeah, no, we're curating content as we speak. Actually, you spoke about mental wellness, and that it happens to be our change maker cause this year's mental wellness. So we'll be spotlighting 7 to 9 films around that topic as well. So I'm excited. A lot of things happening.
Well, I want you to make sure that you follow us on all of our socials as well. You can look for Be Our Geek Show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And you can email the show at beourgeekshow@gmail.com. Well, one more thing. Congratulations on your TED Talk, Justine Mastin.
Thank
congratulations.
You so much.
I was very excited to see you as your friend and see that. I was like, oh, that is so fantastic, fantastic. So make sure you look for that as well. Again, you can email us, as I said, at beourgeekshow@gmail.com. Please like and subscribe to Be Our Geek wherever you find us. We appreciate it. It's free. And if you don't like us, you can always unsubscribe some other time. So you won't do that, though, because we're amazing. So you both were amazing as well. So Justine, Larissa, thank you so much for joining us. Will you promise to come back? We always say, you know, will you come back and see us again?
We would love to come see you again. Thanks so much for having us.
Oh, it is our absolute pleasure. Whenever we could connect with like-minded geeks, we're here. And I apologize for my Slytherin friend over there. So
come on now.
To everyone else, thank you very much for joining us. We appreciate you being part of this episode. And be safe out there, because everyone's a geek about something.